What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Pillow Talk with Paul Gonneau. Today, my guest is wrestler and up-and-coming comedian Yanni Cusis.
What's going on, everybody?
Yes. Greek champion, right?
Yes, sir.
Shit, brought the belt with me. Not fucking around today.
No, sir.
So, dude, you recently did your first open mic. I want to hear about it.
Oh,
I want to hear how you feel about it. And yeah,
it was something. Honestly, I mean, it was a nice bar. You know, crowd was pretty good. You know, but I felt pretty good. The promoter was very nice. Ricardo,
yeah, Ricardo's a solid dude. I'm surprised you actually didn't know him before, because he's been to some shows at Battle Arts.
No, honestly,
Did you talk about like wrestling or anything with him? Because he's a big wrestling guy.
I saw his profile picture. You fucking Destiny. I'm like, yo, what?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I've been to Destiny and all that. I'm like, hey, that's straight up, man. And we were just shooting the shit about it. It was good.
No, he's a good dude. That's a good place to be.
He gave me like 7 to 10, and like literally, you know, I just fucking freestyled it, and I went like.
Yeah, but how did you feel about it? How's your material coming along?
No, my material's good.
Because I know you were like kind of like, oh, the crowd was a little small, and I was just like, you, when you go to open mics, you can't really expect. That's why I was saying, like, even like. Like, we should go where it's like, you brought Jesse, right?
Yeah.
So at least you had one guy. Usually, yeah. like most times when I go, I don't really have anybody there for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it sucks, but it's a good way to kind of
find out if
your material is, you know?
Yeah, if it's a weekend, good. They'll all come in droves. They'll literally come in like one big
Toronto's,
pack if it's a weekend.
Toronto's a hot spot for comedy. Anywhere around the GTA, really. You know? Like, it's a, like, I would say one of the best spots in North America.
Oh, 100%.
Like, people talk about New York and LA. I feel like Toronto's got to be in the conversation.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's definitely, from like, the best spot in Canada. Like, without a doubt.
No, my vision on the whole comedy thing is I want to be like, Dave Chappelle, Dice Clay, Burt Kreischer, Ricky Gervais. Like, you know, I want to be edgy. You know, I don't want to be the same. I don't want to, you know, I want to change things. You know, I want to defy the norm and make people laugh in the best way that I possibly can. So that's my style of it. I take elements from those guys, Dice Clay as well, and I try to implement that as much as I can into my material.
Why'd you decide to start doing it? Like, had you tried to do it before?
No, I've always been a funny guy. Like, my life has been full of highlight reels and hilarious moments. But I just figured, you know what? It's a new challenge. I like challenges, and I'm gonna go for this and see what happens. If I do well on my debut gig, then I'll continue. If I don't, then I don't. But you know, I defied the odds. I came in second at Laughteria, and, you know, clearly it's a sign that we should keep going, so that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. It's hard just to get started. I know a lot of funny people and people that I'm like, yo, write five.
Yeah.
Write 5 minutes, man. You know, because they make me laugh, and Some people are kind of, they seem a little more into it, and some are just, you know, they don't like being in front of people, and it seems like, I don't know if it came with your, like, your wrestling background, but, like, you're very, like, your joke writing needs some work, obviously.
Yeah.
Mine needs some work. Everyone's always needs some work, you know? But, like, you're starting from a good place, and you have, like, a good stage presence. Like, so even in like something I saw, like when Thunder Rosa was doing like her little I guess class seminar, whatever you want to call it, at Battle Arts, and you cut your promo first. I remember that, like, your promo was the best one of the day. I don't think anybody else would argue that, to be honest.
I appreciate that.
And like she put some stuff on her blog from the seminar, and yours didn't make the cut because yours was the promo that made her be like, oh, maybe I should start recording this. You know, that was that, and that's the reason. Like, she probably had no intention of recording anything, and then kind of like started off with such a big bang that she was like, oh, maybe I should. But then everyone else wasn't as good. Not that they were bad. Like, lots of dudes can cut really good promos. Yeah. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, like, it sucks that yours didn't get it on the
blog. Oh, for sure, know? For sure. But, you know, it is what it is. As long as I made an impression on her and, you know, I was able to give it what I could, then that's all that matters. You know, so, you know, I did what I had to do, more importantly.
When did you start training at Battle Arts?
I remember the exact date, November 31st, 2017, is when I started. I did the circuit training, as it was called at the time, now known as group fitness. I did judo. I did a little bit of jiu-jitsu. Amateur wrestling I did for a little bit, as it was called then, Olympic wrestling.
Yeah.
And when did I get into
pro this wrestling? Was all at Battle Arts
that yeah
you did all this stuff.
Okay. Yeah, pro wrestling was I think it was December, I think it was the next month I started in pro wrestling. But Battle Arts back then was very, very different to how Battle Arts is now. Mm-hmm. You don't just sign up, whatever, you automatically get into pro wrestling. No, back then you had to go through an assessment to get into the pro wrestling program. They scheduled a time. Santino and I think it was Toy at the time, Yuki, they would assess you, and you had to do, I think it was 500 squats.
Brutal.
You had to do, 50 or 75 bumps. One way, the other way, mm-hmm. keep going. Mm-hmm. And then you had to do, I think it was like sit-ups or burpees or some of that. And then if you could do all of those correctly, then you could get into the program. And I think they added some rules in there too, but it was an assessment. You had to check all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they saw that, you were good to go. So it was very, very different.
That seems very intense.
Yeah. Compared to now, oh yeah.
But you made the cut.
No, absolutely. I made the cut. And I always say, like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not, like, I love everybody at Battle Arts, but I'm not an AC guy. I'm not a HWE guy. I'm not a Rockwell guy. I'm a Santino guy. I'm a Yuki guy.
Okay.
Because that's how I started, and that's how I'm always going to be. So.
How long have you been into pro wrestling, like, before you actually started pursuing it as, like, you know?
I think it was about 15, 20 years. I don't remember the exact date or year, but I remember how it happened. I remember I was at elementary school, and a friend of mine came up to me when we were at the lockers, and he goes, hey, yo, did you hear about this pro wrestling? And I think it was around WrestleMania 21.
So who was it?
Build up to WrestleMania. His name was Thomas.
No, I mean, well, shout out to Thomas.
Yeah.
But who were, like, the wrestlers that, like, you know, really got you into it?
I think it was
WrestleMania 21.
Yeah, WrestleMania
Was that the first thing you ever watched of pro wrestling?
Yeah, well, it wasn't WrestleMania 21 itself, it was the road to WrestleMania itself.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, oh yeah, look at this, whatever, Monday Night Raw, all that, and he showed me. And then from that moment on, I was hooked, and I knew I always wanted to do it. I knew I always wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were always like, oh, you know, whatever, like, you don't know, are you sure, whatever, like, get a backup plan, this and that, but... in my mind, it's pro wrestling, and it's always gonna be pro wrestling. So it's been a very crazy life. So it's been good. It's been very, very good. There's been some bumps on the road. I've been defying odds and am able to slowly make this happen. So.
Yeah, I remember the very first event I worked. You won a Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people there for you that day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I am just a ref, all right? Yeah. But, like, training with you leading up to that event and, like, just the guys at Battle Arts and this being my first event, this was, like, the first time that I felt, like, really, like, excited to, like, wow. raise the winner's hand, dude. Because, like,
dang.
I don't know. It just, like, I obviously had done it a few times before, you know?
You did.
But, like, just the amount of energy in the building. Wrestling is a fucking... Yo, I don't understand people that don't like pro wrestling, man.
I know. I don't understand you.
How
either.
Old are you, Yanni?
27 now.
27. All right.
Yeah, I started when I was like 23, 22.
That's good, man. So. That's good. I fucked up my back when I was like 16 and shit, so like I don't think wrestling is... in the cards ever? Maybe one match.
Yeah.
I always say this. Maybe one match.
Okay.
Well, who knows? Right. You know? It's not something I could see myself doing.
Heard it here on Pillow Talk. Instead. You never know one match.
Oh, I've said it so many times. I feel like I say it to, like, every wrestler. Every wrestler that I talk to. Yeah, maybe one match, you know? Because I feel like... I imagine most refs, like, at one point... like, their love for pro wrestling didn't come from watching the refs, no. right? They obviously wanted to be wrestlers.
Of course.
And then some sort of, you know, lots of different roadblocks come up in one's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason or another, they decided to pursue reffing. But I'm sure,
for sure,
like, 99.9, there's probably one rogue ref who's like, oh, no, man, always just wanted the stripes. And, you know, is just... and respect to that, like, I'm not hating on that, like, respect to, you know, however you found what you love.
Shout out to Harry D for his 30th anniversary in the business.
That's right, that was cool. I was in one of those photos. That was dope, man. Harry and
Harry's been there for some of my biggest moments. Harry's the one who gave me Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4.
I have one.
Yeah, the night I was endorsed as a pro wrestler.
That's dope.
Hacksaw used it in a match. I think he was after me on the card. And I remember I was in the back and Harry came up. He's like, hey. And I'm like, what? He's like, I got a gift for you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Hacksaw wanted me to give you this. And then I remember I was looking at it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, look, he signed it too. And I was like, holy crap. And then he goes... and then I remember Santino came over and he goes, hey, congratulations, you are officially a pro wrestler. And he told me that the first paid gig that you get or that you are in, that's when you are crowned a pro wrestler. So until you have your first official paid booking in the business, you are not considered a pro wrestler. So that was a defining moment that Harry got.
I'm sure that's that term is very, like, it's relative. Everyone has their own meaning to what, like, a wrestler is.
Of course.
You know? But I that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel it. Harry D and Jimmy Corderas were the refs that did the very first seminar I went to.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was around, like, 7 months. 7 months or so ago.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, yeah, always have a spot. And I always just... Harry D, to me, is, like, one of the best refs in the business, regardless of what, like, promotion or level,
bar none.
He's one of the best.
Bar none. No, yeah. You can't doubt it for a second, so...
As a wrestler, let me ask you.
Yeah.
What do you think makes a good ref?
Well... a lot of factors, obviously, but I say the main ones are making sure you get the counts right, making sure you always check the shoulder, whether it's up or whether it's down, make sure you indicate to the audience, and if you're taking any ref bumps of any kind, make sure everybody's on par about how it's supposed to go down, and I guess ultimately just be the third man, you know, like you use it to your advantage, like the wrestlers, like just use it, right? If you are thinking of doing something, you know, communicate to the ref, he can communicate it to the other guy, you know, everything can go smoothly. Don't lose the believability meter. That's for you, Santino, because that's what you taught us. You know, you want the believability meter to go boop, 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 boop. And if, you know, anybody makes one mistake, it just goes down.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But it's wild also coming from Santino, because he has that fucking Cobra move, which is anything but believable. But absolutely, he makes it work. You know what I mean?
JTG.
In regards to the shoulder thing, something I've started doing recently because, like, I don't know, wrestlers can get in certain positions where they don't realize that both their shoulders are on the ground.
Yes.
And then you have to start a pin when, like, they're, you know, in the middle of, you know, in between two spots or whatever, and they're trying to work out what they're doing next and shit. Yeah, and so they're not really paying attention. And so I'm just trying to, before their shoulders go down, I'm like, watch your shoulders, watch your shoulders. I make it like a known thing now because I don't want to kind of screw up the flow of the match and have to, like, start a count. And
yeah, no, that's fair.
But it happens a lot, dude. It happens a lot. No, I remember fucking one of, like, my first, I think it was actually my second event. I think this was, like, one of my first paid events, right?
Oh, man.
And I was in Oshawa, and I want to say it was Mick against somebody else. And this dude was, like, choking him. And I was so focused on Mick's shoulder positioning that I was completely ignoring the fact that this guy was fucking choking him, and I needed to start doing a five count on that.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? So, you know, these are just things that you pick up as you go. What's something you've learned the hard way in wrestling?
I learned the hard way that if you don't execute a move correctly, that it can have serious implications. I've learned that through watching old wrestling documentaries, Dark Side of the Ring.
I love Dark Side of the Ring.
I'll be
straight up, not a big fan of Tales of the Territories, though.
I've watched like a couple of...
It's okay, like, dude. One, it's not as good. It's not as good. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no. What was that one episode I watched? It was one with David Schultz, and then the second episode I watched a little bit of.
That
I
didn't was the finish slap, it. Right? The
yeah, slap yeah, one. Yeah. The yeah, one, yeah. The second one I didn't finish, but I think the second episode was of Stampede Wrestling in Calgary with Brett and Stu. But you know, you gotta make sure you do the moves correctly, and especially like me with my disability and limitations and stuff, it's extra work for me, but if it means making the dream happen in any way, then so be it. So
any move that you had like particularly a hard time?
Probably giving a suplex. I still have trouble giving a suplex.
Giving a suplex?
Yeah. Taking it's okay. It's just giving it, because like I'm worried about like landing wrong and fucking the guy up. So
There's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot of pressure. I don't know if you. So I don't know, last week's Dynamite or the week before that, MJF cut like this after Dynamite went off the air.
Yeah, I saw MJF, that. Oh my
where
God.
He brought Tony Khan out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he was kind Tony of basically F-ing like, Khan. Yeah, he was bigging him up. You know what I mean? And, like, he at one point says, like, we put our lives on the line when we come in here.
Do
and that's like,
not understand
it's
that?
Not an over exaggeration.
No, it's not.
Like, you really it's do. Really like, not. Basic stuff could literally break your neck. Like, Rey Mysterio killed someone in the ring doing
God.
A dropkick.
Jesus.
Shit happens, bro. Freak accidents fucking happen, you know?
Yeah,
don't take
this shit lightly. Like,
no, man, you can get hurt real easy.
No, I hate when people are like, oh yeah, that fake stuff, right? Oh yeah, no, that stuff's so fake. Listen, it's not fake. Don't ever use the word fake around pro wrestlers. It may be predetermined, but it's not fake. What we do is real. We put our bodies on the line for your entertainment.
Your athletes.
Yeah.
And your performers.
Exactly.
That's the thing, right? It's like, exactly. It's like Shakespeare on, and maybe this isn't a good comparison or fucking metaphor or whatever I'm going for, but Shakespeare on roids.
Yeah.
That's essentially what wrestling is.
Yeah.
You know, literally and figuratively at points. You know, different points. I feel like roids is less common now in wrestling,
how many celebrities or other fighters have tried pro wrestling and said that, like, it wasn't for them because of how insane it is?
Well, you have people that aren't athletes trying to be wrestlers. You have athletes that aren't performers trying to be wrestlers. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you need to be a good combination of the two.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes wrestling, you know? And you don't go, I've said this a million times, and I'll forever say it until I die, because I fully believe it. Like, it's just athletic Shakespeare, you know? Like, when you go to see, like, a play, like a Shakespearean play or whatever, a musical or whatever you're going to see, and they're pretending, pantomiming that to drive in a car.
Yeah.
You don't, you're not sitting there being like, oh, you're not really driving a car, idiot. This is fake. You know, it's a fucking, it's a production, it's a performance, you know, but they're not,
it's supposed they're to not doing disbelief. Like,
they're not doing death-defying moves.
No, no.
Suicide dives and fucking pile drivers and whatever, man, like.
Yeah, any average person, like, they wouldn't know how to take a freaking suplex, you know, like, it's not,
but one, it's not that one easy. One would call wrestling fake, but not the play fake, you know, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
So that's why, guys, very, very important to all the non-pro wrestling fans out there. You know, if it's not your cup of tea, that's fine, but like, don't ever say it's fake.
Word.
So
disrespectful, man.
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe get into the top five?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like it'd be a good. Wait, no. You know what? Yeah, let's do top five, and we'll start with dream matches.
All right.
Because, I mean, this one's just for you.
Okay.
And when I say dream matches, I was thinking matches that you'd like to have.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's see. Probably number one is, obviously, Santino is a mentor to me and whatever. He's definitely in the top two, 100%. But I'd say my number one is my all-time role model, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's my dude.
If I ever was able to have a match against him, like that would be it for me. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
So him, Santino.
Is he coming back? Is Stone Cold coming back?
I keep hearing
things.
I don't know. He says he might. Then he says he's not sure. He could be pulling the wool over everybody. I guess we'll have to wait and see what's going on there. But other than those two, I'd say Fuerza would probably be the third.
Okay.
the fourth one, I'd say maybe Mikey. We've been in the ring a couple times, and we did pretty good. So. And then the fifth one, probably a one-on-one match between myself and Freedom Wallace.
Okay.
I would love to see that. We've been in a tag match together, but never one-on-one. So I think that would be amazing. I've always found that working with vets have been better than working with newer guys, because the matches always seem to flow well together, especially my recent encounters that I've had.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, being in the ring, I've done quite a few matches now, and always the matches with at least one vet are like, they're smooth, like because the, you know, the more experienced wrestler will take control and kind of lead the way, you know? And the newer guys just kind of following that guy. And that's why I think it's also, like, I get what you're saying. And I think it's important to have, as a wrestler, probably a mix of matches. Do you know?
Yeah.
So like, then when you get in a ring with a less experienced person, then you could be the person that's like leading the way because you've had more of those matches with the experienced people, and that's how it kind of like, you know, trickles down.
Of course. And that's why whenever management asks me, like, you know, who would I like to work, that's why I try to say, like, give me matches against veteran guys, and then that way I can learn. And then that way I can slowly start passing it on to the newer guys as I get better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's obviously where this belt comes in. I won this in a 6-man tournament a few months ago. And I am supposed to be having an upcoming encounter with Greco Mascara in a Rising Star show that is to be determined on the date, but I cannot wait
that
to
was the
finish that.
Postponed October show, right?
Yeah, I cannot wait to finish.
Why didn't they just do it then? Why did it end up getting like?
Apparently there wasn't enough people.
Okay.
Yeah, they were lacking talent, so they had to push it.
Okay.
But, all I can say about that next match is it's going to be something, not for this belt necessarily, but for bragging rights of who is the better fighter out of Greece. Is it Spartan or is it Mount Olympus?
All right.
So.
Well, hopefully I'll be reffing that.
Yeah. I hope so too.
All right, dude. Let's do John Cena movies / shows.
Oh, man.
Okay. Now, I'll start with this one. And like, I had to put shows. I Wikipedia'd him. I don't think I've done this thing on here before, but like I've had, like recently I did like James Gunn stuff.
Yeah.
And so like the top two for my Cena are the same for my John, for the fucking James Gunn movies.
Right.
So my first one is going to be Peacemaker. And then, have you seen Peacemaker?
No. The show? Honestly, like I honestly have not seen a lot of John Cena movies. I stopped liking him after I stopped liking him. I think it was after 2012, 2011, and since then I have not been a fan. You know, just the whole doing it for the, you know, C Nation, whatever. I was more of a fan of the Thugonomics thing.
Yeah,
that was awesome. But
the thing with me too with Cena is like straight up, I honestly respect him as a wrestler, but like his characters and stuff, was never a fan of him in the ring. I like him more outside, like as an actor. Yeah. I think he's actually pretty fucking funny, dude.
I have seen 12 Rounds. I have seen Fast 9. I've seen I think I've seen a little bit of
oh, bro, he has so many good ones. The Suicide Squad. Okay, so let me do mine.
Yeah.
Cuz each one of these, just I'm telling you, check them out. Okay. Peacemaker's a show. Okay. It's on Crave. It was a HBO Max show. I think it's like maybe like 10 episodes. But Peacemaker is basically a character that's in the Suicide Squad. And the Suicide Squad is my number two. And then I'm going Vacation Friends.
Oh, jeez.
And this is a fucking comedy, dude. This is like probably his funniest like movie to date. Peacemaker's a pretty funny character, but it's a fairly serious show. Because it's like a DC show. You know what I mean? And so that's my number three. And Playing with Fire, which is kind of like this corny family kind of movie.
Right.
Where he's like a firefighter. Really like it. And then Blockers, which he plays. It's essentially cock blockers, but they don't actually say cock on the cover. Like Blockers is like in the silhouette of like,
I've seen the poster.
Dude, it's really, really funny. And he's just like, you know, his kid's going to prom, and he's like with a bunch of other parents, and all their kids are going to prom together, and they make this like pact to have sex and shit.
No, I honestly couldn't see the new Suicide Squad because there's only one Suicide Squad for me, and that was the That was the David Ayer Suicide Squad.
Bro, I'm telling you, this one is so...
No, but there's a reason for it, and the reason for it is because I was in that movie.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was an extra as a Spec Ops soldier, and I got to meet Margot and Will Smith.
That's cool.
On man. The set, so that's...
Don't get me wrong, I like that movie, but this one is for sure better than that one, man. Like, by like a bit. Watch it, dude. I'm telling you. You'll wish you had been in this new one. It's really good. Have you ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
So the same guy did this movie.
Jeez.
And he did Peacemaker as well. That's my five. Do you have five?
No, honestly, like I haven't seen a lot of Cena movies, so probably, yeah, just those.
All right. I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies since like the third one.
All right. That's fair. That's justified.
I don't know. All right, let's do comedians, dude.
Okay.
I'm curious. I'll go through mine quick.
Okay.
Joe Rogan, Dave Chappelle, Mark Forward, who's like a Canadian kind of from Oakville comedian.
Yeah.
George Carlin.
Okay.
And then Bill Burr.
Jeez.
That's my five.
All right. Let's see here. Dice Clay.
Number one?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever seen him live?
No.
Okay.
No. Dave Chappelle, Russell Peters, Bert Kreischer, and Jeff Dunham.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a big Bert Kreischer guy as well.
Yeah. I literally just saw Bert in Buffalo.
Yeah. I remember we talked about it, actually. Yeah.
And then literally I'm going to the Toronto one on December 9th.
Yeah. I saw him last time he was in Toronto. I didn't get tickets to this one.
What a freaking guy.
I wonder if tickets are still available. Where's he at? When is it?
Meridian Hall, December 9th.
It's real soon.
Yeah, there's like a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think I'm in the... I got pretty good
seats. He's good, though, man.
It's not too bad, but... Yeah, no, it's gonna be very exciting. I love the whole story of when he was on the freaking train. Oh, man, he kills me. This is Russia.
The machine story.
I am the machine. I
think apparently they're making. Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, that should be interesting. I wonder how it's gonna be if they're gonna try to make it like a silly kind of comedy, but like actual like an Austin Powers type thing.
Yeah,
it's mostly comedy, but there's all these like crazy evil things going on.
Oh my god.
We'll see. All right, let's do Eminem songs.
Okay.
Start?
Oh, what's that collab he did? I think it was Don't Know or something like that. Eminem.
You don't Drake know Exhibit?
Yeah.
Wait, no, are you talking about Drake?
No, it was Eminem.
It was older? Dr. Dre Exhibit, maybe?
Crap, I would have to find it on my phone. It's that one, and then My Name Is, Fast Lane, Stan, and When I'm Gone.
Okay, When I'm Gone.
Yeah.
Fucking, what is, I feel like I know the name, but I can't think of it. What album is it on? Eminem's show?
Trying to remember now. I can't remember the album. Like, literally,
one that you said that I'm like, oh,
what I was listening to it like yesterday.
It doesn't matter. It's not a super big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going number one, Still Don't Give a Fuck. Like, there's just something about the song that just never loses. Like, I still like it as much as I liked it back in the day. And like a lot of these things, like if you ask me John Cena movies, you know, in like 6 months, it could be a different list. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like with Eminem songs, Still Don't Give a Fuck has been like my favorite song of his for a very long time. My number two is a D12 song, but he's fucking in it and I have to do it because it's like, it's amazing. Fight Music. Do you know the song I'm talking about?
Kind of.
Oh my god, bro.
I probably have to go back and listen to it.
So good. I feel like most of my stuff is probably older. Till I Collapse is my number three.
Till I Collapse.
And that's fucking Eminem's show. I think Eminem Show's probably my favorite album of his.
Yeah.
Like, as much as, like, I think there's only one song from that album on the top five of mine, but I think that's his best.
That's facts.
Rock
that's
Bottom, facts. Number four.
Jeez.
And then The Way I Am
is number five.
And, like, they also, like, there's a really good version of The Way I Am that actually is, like, a heavier song. I don't know, kidding, like, how if you're, like, into lots of different kinds of music, but, like, if there's, like, a heavy guitar and, like, Marilyn Manson does the chorus.
I'm into older rappers. I'm into reggaeton, soca, a little bit of calypso, very much, even Brazilian funk.
I love Brazilian funk. I don't even know what that would sound like.
MCGW, MC Rick, MC Kevinho. These songs are something else. Literally, you would think that, like, you know, it's, you know, you don't even know what it's about because it's in Brazilian, but, like, I know what it's about, and, like, it's insane that, like, you could get those songs on the radio, but they actually have them on the radio, and the beat is good. Like, I love the beat. The doom 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 doom.
Okay.
So, all right. I dig it.
I guess we'll end with superheroes. Right. I'm going to go first because I do these every episode, bro.
Shoot them
up. So I'm going to do mine off quick. Batman. Ninja Turtles as a group, number two. Red Hood is my number three. Arsenal is my number four. Spider-Man's my number five.
All right. Let's see. Deadpool, Black Adam, Batman, Flash, and Venom.
Oh, I like it. All right.
Yeah.
I dig it. You saw Black Adam, eh?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought the music was cool. I thought the fight scenes were cool. Could things be improved on? Yeah, absolutely. I think Dwayne's ego has boosted a little bit because apparently he's saying, like, oh yeah, Black Adam's the center of the DC, but, like, he's taking all the focus from Henry Cavill coming back as Superman. But I am excited to see them fight, though, Cavill and Rock.
Well, Rock is the only reason that Cavill's back.
Yeah.
So, if you really love Superman, you gotta love The Rock for that. And I really love Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah.
I think he's the best Superman. And he apparently, so I guess Walter Hamada, who's, like, running the DC films and shit like that.
Not anymore,
exactly. He was very, like, I'm just
stupid.
That too. Made a lot of bad decisions, 100%. I like a lot of, most of the DC movies, but I still think, like, under his wing, so to speak, like, right, there was a lot of things that shouldn't have happened. He was trying to basically erase the past with DC and was going to basically make Batgirl the front of, instead of Batman, man, the front of, like, DC. And they made a whole movie. And then once he left, like, that movie got scrapped, and you find out that, like, obviously, you know, Cavill's in the credit scene of Black Adam, and that, like, to get him there, The Rock went over Hamada. Like, just, like, even though he was the boss at the time, he just kind of went over him and just kind of made it happen. So, I'm very thankful for that.
Respect to Dwayne for doing that. Jesus.
I enjoyed the movie. I liked that they focused on some other characters. You know, they introduced Justice Society, which was good.
Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate was amazing. And, you know, hopefully he's in the next one.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Amazing. The best Bond, too. Let's just be real.
He's a killer.
But, yeah, I really liked it, man. And I get what The Rock is trying to do. And it's just, you know, who he is at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But, like, Ben Affleck is around for Batman. He's going to be in Aquaman 2, and he's going to be in fucking another movie, and the Flash movie. So, like, he's going to still be around for a bit. And with Cavill coming back, like, there's no... Black Adam is not going to be, like... the hierarchy has not changed. Do you know what I mean? Like, his whole thing was like, the hierarchy in the DC universe is about to change. It has changed.
It's literally funny. I was literally talking to my boy about this on the phone earlier, and we were discussing, like, superhero movies and, like, Marvel movies. Honestly, like, majority of the upcoming Marvel movies I'm not watching, and the DC movies I'm not watching are Aquaman 2 and The Flash. I am watching Shazam, though.
What do you mean? You're not going to watch The Flash?
Well, because of everything that's going on with Ezra
Miller. Who cares? Think of everybody Ezra else Miller, behind sorry. That movie other than Ezra. Ezra Miller is one person in that. And he's going to be gone anyway. But the movie's made. And I assure you, it's going to be a fucking amazing movie, whether you like him or not. I don't like Amber Heard. I have a joke about her. I don't like her. I'm going to go... I know she's in Aquaman 2. You know? Is that why you don't want to see Aquaman 2?
Yeah, literally. He was like, please tell me you're not going to watch Aquaman 2. And I'm just like...
She already got paid, bro. She already got paid. It's done. You going to see it is not like... It's not really making much of a difference, you know? For her.
But I am excited for I'm excited for Deadpool 3. Woo! I'm excited for
Hugh Jackman, bro. Yeah. Oh shit!
Guardians of the Galaxy Last Adventure.
They had that the holiday special coming out too. Yeah.
Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars.
Secret Wars, I'm excited about. Yeah.
Spider-Man's Tom Holland's final run of Spider-Man.
I mean, any kind of Spider-Man. Thing is, like, for me, my whole introduction to all of this, like, shit, like, I have a lot of comics and stuff like that. I have a lot of fucking, a lot of superhero stuff. And, like, Ninja Turtles, Batman, and Spider-Man are, like, they can pretty much do no wrong. Even though the last Ninja Turtles movie, okay, so they did the two. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? When they brought back Ninja Turtles, the live-action ones?
Oh, Michael Bay, Megan Fox.
Yeah, those ones. Oh, yeah, geez. And so I didn't mind the first one that they did. And then the part two, which was like, Out of the Shadows or some shit. Yeah, with fucking Bebop and Rocksteady. Didn't like that one at all, bro. And it's sad because it's like, I'm such a big Ninja Turtle fan. Like, it's the same with Batman. There's only like really one bad Batman movie in my eyes. And it's the fucking George Clooney one.
Good God.
You know, have you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, I don't see it. You don't need to see it, really. In Spider-Man 3 would be the worst Spider-Man, I think, too. The original with Tobey Maguire's.
Remember that scene where he gets crushed by the freaking boulder or whatever? The sand boulder? And he just goes...
Is that in the third one?
Yeah, trying to reach for the web or whatever.
Yeah.
After getting decimated.
Yo, it did so many bad things in that movie. You know? But, I guess we can...
Play a game.
Wrap it up by doing some topics. You pick one, I'll pick one. Boom. I'll go first. This is an interesting one. Okay. Right. Finish the following sentence.
Okay.
I could never date someone who...
is clingy as fuck. Absolutely not.
Did you deal with clingy before?
No, I've seen, you know, couples who are, like, super clingy, and honestly, like, I'm just not a fan of that. Like, you know, like, it'd be like, give me space, let me do what I gotta do, you know, don't be worried so much, I'm okay, I'm not gonna die, you know, so take it easy a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe, just the other side of the coin, it's because you haven't found the right person.
Okay.
Maybe, man. Maybe, you know. I'm not saying, like, I definitely think clingy is bad.
Yeah.
But, like, the concern and the wanting to be with each other. Like, you never, like, been with someone for, like, a week and then they go... And you miss them later on that day. Like, they leave at, like, noon, and then at 6, you're like, fucking miss you. That never happened before?
No.
Fuck me.
No, honestly.
You're making me feel like a big puss right now, bro.
But honestly, there's
a part of me that doesn't believe you, sir.
Legit.
It'll happen, man. It'll happen.
All right, my turn.
You don't want someone that's just, like, needs to be with you and doesn't let you do anything without them? But okay. I feel like if you're in a relationship, like, or at least me, I don't want to speak for you, but like, I like a little bit of like, you know, the person wanting to be with me and caring. Even if I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, my girlfriend all the time is like, be careful when you're crossing the road regularly, bro. Yeah. I travel all the time, like, and I jaywalk all the time, but she still says it, you know?
All right, let me see here.
All right, what's up?
Oh, no, let me do this one. Is it ever okay to lie to children? If so, when?
Yo, I would, lots of times. Lots of times. Like, some, like, kids need to be, I don't know, and this is, no, you're going to read the other one after.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this is a good question because I'm about to be a dad.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember before, like, you know, before I had a girlfriend who was pregnant, and I was just like, well, what's the, why do we lie about Santa? What's the point? When I have a kid, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to tell my fucking kid, it's me. Hey, I buy your presents. You're welcome. You know what I mean? But now that I'm going to have a kid, it's weird because I see some sort of value in lying about something like this. Yes, I am. Like, yes, technically Santa is a lie. And most parents, at least, you know, in where we're at, they lie to their kids about fucking Santa or other things. Tooth fairy, fucking Easter bunny, all that shit. But, like, I think, like, I have very fond memories of, like, Santa and going to see Santa and sitting on his lap and, like, writing letters and, like, Christmas wasn't super big for me, but, like, there was something always very comforting about Santa, and just, I think it would help, like, a child's imagination to believe in these make-believe things, you know, to just have, like, some sort of magic. I think the world is gonna fucking drain it of you at some point. It will happen. You know?
Yes.
But, like, kids are only, people are only kids for a very small portion of their life.
That's true.
You know? And also, like, we're talking about this, but I also think, like, I don't know. It's so hard to say, but there's lots of things, like, that I could see lying to my kid about.
Okay.
You know? As they get older, maybe releasing some information, you know, slowly, but you gotta wait. You gotta let them develop. And figure things out. Let them ask questions, you know? I feel like a lot of the things that I'm, like, scared of teaching my kid,
especially with things today, as we would say in Greek.
Well, with things today, it's like there's another fear, because it's like your kids could just Google everything. They don't have to ask you anything. So you kind of want to kind of be proactive.
They could just be like, Daddy, I'm going to record a TikTok with Mary and Annabelle. Here, bro.
That's what me and my girl were talking about. It's like, well, when do we want... so we know it's going to be a girl. Her name's going to be Aaliyah.
Okay.
So it's like, well, when are we going to let Aaliyah get social media?
Ooh. Yeah, I wouldn't do that shit until she's freaking.
I'm like, that's like high school, 20. Bro. High school. I'm like high school, but like this. The thing is, like, when I was in high school, it was like, it was different. You know, kids are getting used to technology and all this kind of shit at a younger age. So maybe like the fact that like my ex's daughter had a phone when she was like in grade 7.
Good lord.
And maybe in like 10 years. You know, my child will have, you know, or most children that are like 10 will have phones.
Oh.
You know, I don't know, man.
Good God.
Times are changing, though. Who knows if 10 years we'll even need a fucking phone?
Yeah.
Am I even answering the question anymore?
Yes.
I don't know. What do you think about lying to kids?
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that, on one hand, it could be good, to protect them from the stupid world that we live in. On the other hand, on some situations like Santa Claus, I think it's bad because you want them to have the imagination and something to believe in until they reach the age where they can move on without it. So I think it's a double-edged sword.
Were you raised with Santa in your life?
Yeah. No, I was for.
How did you find out he wasn't real?
I don't know. I think I can't even remember. I think I just moved on from it, or someone told me, or something, and I just didn't care.
Do I still get presents?
Yeah. Do I still get presents? Yeah. No, we're good. Okay. Yeah. Even then, we still do presents at my house. Living in a Greek house has always been freaking crazy. You know, especially with my limitations being like mildly autistic and epileptic, like literally processing things differently than others, getting into the ring especially, like literally it's like, okay, wait, which foot was for which role again, and okay, wait, do I have to arch my hips when giving the suplex, and you know, like it's a challenge, but you know, it's worth it in the long run for professional wrestling. But Greek parents are very, especially the one that come from Greece, they're very, very strict. They don't mess around. They don't mess around with social media or any of that.
You born here?
Yeah. But my grandparents, they're Spartan.
Gotcha.
300 Spartans. And then my dad's side's from Argos. So Jason and the Argonauts. So it's all right. A blend of both. So it's a double-edged sword when it comes to lying to your kids.
All right. I think we're in agreement. Yeah. Agreement? Agreement? Is agreement a word? It is now, you know. All right. This is a good one. I feel like I know the answer for you, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
How much do you care what others think of you? And how does it affect your life?
Honestly, like, I honestly don't care. Like, literally, my parents, you know, they'll be like, oh my god, you know, whatever, like, stop putting all your focus onto wrestling, and you watch too much wrestling, and you don't do this right, you don't do that right, man. And honestly, like, I honestly don't care, because it's just like, listen, like, I'm 27, I'm living my life, you know, whatever, I'm making the most out of every single day, because that's all you can do. Like, you don't like it, like, go fuck yourself, because honestly, that's what I'm trying to do. And you know, like, I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's the way it is. So I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I feel like there's two ways I feel about this, and like 95% of me, and okay, so 95% of me doesn't care at all, and the 5% of me that does care only cares in a way that I would let it motivate me. Like if someone earlier on didn't maybe like give me a spot on like this pro show because I was just up and coming and all this kind of shit, or just anyone in general that doubts me, as much as like there's, yeah, I'm like, buddy, I don't give a fuck what you think, but there's a small part of me that wants to hang on to things like that because I use it as fuel. Like, it's my motivation, like, as juvenile as it is, like I use it to motivate me to achieve my goals. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where
it's some of the best fuel I think anyone could use, like natural anyway. You know, I'm not trying to do drugs to fuel me. You know, but
of course, it's
yeah,
it's kind of a difference, because like my motivator, like especially for wrestling, is to show people with disabilities and limitations that you can still do things like this if you really want to put your mind to it. You can absolutely do it if you have the drive and determination. You don't have to be the most ripped to do it. As long as you are willing to put in the work in the ring as much as possible, to learn the moves and the holds and the bumps and the rolls as best as you possibly can, then you can be born for greatness. And that's why I give shout outs to all of my coaches and trainers. Santino, my mentor, my best friend, Bianca Ariana, shout out to her, and shout out to my other homegirl, Scarlett, you know, just left Battle Arts, for boxing, for training full time for the 2024 Olympic Games. So I wish her the best of luck in the 2024 Games. But if you guys want to do it, just achieve it, man. That's what I'm doing in stand up. I'm doing it because I think it's fun and because I want to see where this goes. That's why Tanako's born and Tanako's gonna stay for as long as he possibly can.
That's what's up, man. All right, what you got? Last
one. I got, what could you talk about for hours?
What could I talk about for hours? Comedy, wrestling. Like, I have a fucking podcast. Clearly, I like to talk. I just, what could I talk about for hours? Life stories. I like to learn. Like, even when I, like read and stuff, like, not comic books, like real books. Yeah. Not that comic books aren't books. I'm talking about just like, you know, hardcover kind of paperback type deals, you know? Like, it's always like real stuff, like, and like nonfiction, autobiographical, I guess you could say, like a lot of the shit. Yeah. I just like learning and like learning about the things that I'm into, whether it's like a musician or, you know, a band. Or a comedian, or like some sort of visual artist, or whatever the case is, you know? I could talk for hours about talking. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I like to talk, man.
I fuck with it. I respect the honesty. And guys, honestly, like, I'm gonna be 100% real with you guys. I have a spirit guide myself. One of my boys has been a spirit guide to me since college, and we've fought many times, and sometimes we doubt our friendship. But the one thing I can say is he's always been there in my worst of times. So if I could give any advice, is go out and get yourselves a spirit guide. Find a real one that's going to be with you no matter what, and hold them close and have them in your life, because you never know when you're going to need it. So find yourself one.
All right, dude. All right, well, I guess we can wrap it up. You can let these people know where to get at you if you want.
All right. Aspie Dynamo on Instagram, or for my demonic alter ego, Slash. It's Slash Demon 1134 on IG. And that's pretty much all for my socials. It was good to be here.
He's going to be at Laugh-A-Teria again in January as the guest? Is that what we talked about? Yeah, January, right?
I think it was January 7th, you said?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it is. It is January 7th. Yeah, Look at you. You fucking know and I don't.
Of course, trying to get the open mic nights, trying to get gigs. So.
Yo, keep it up, man. I'm fucking proud of you, homie. Thanks, I'm proud that you actually fucking were like, hey, I want to do this. And you just fucking went into that. Grabbed the bull by the fucking horns. And that's what's up, buddy. I appreciate you. Thanks for coming out.
No worries.
Guys, like always, this podcast is brought to you by Neon Light District. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 10%. And by The Great North Apparel. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 30%. Go get tickets to fucking The Monthly Show. Go get tickets to Laugh-A-Teria. And check out Yanni. On a stage near you. Tanaka. In a ring near you. Peace the fuck out.
Boom!